Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich talks with community leaders about issues in the public safety arena, sponsored by River Ridge Hardware.
This is Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report. We're continuing a segment that I titled, Things in the Media, and basically what you're not being told. And it's really important that we as a society start, maybe demanding more of our media, maybe demanding that we start getting a balance again, that when there are really extreme claims made by one side, we actually dive into that and take a look. Because if we don't do that, we're going to really damage our country. Our founding fathers made it very clear, you have to have a free press. With the free press, with that protection, the media, the press, has a responsibility to be fair, balanced, honest, let you make the decision. Most of what you hear anymore in the media is opinion, folks. It's just opinion. Very little fact, very, very little research. In the last segment, we were talking about a story that Krem News did on an event that happened a couple weeks ago on a Saturday, and the claims that the activists made that the Spokane Police Department was one of the most deadliest, or the third deadliest in the nation. We went through those facts behind that, and you can go back in the archives and pull that one up. But one of the people they interviewed was an individual named Anwar Peace, and he claims to be a police accountability activist for the last 21 years and represents SCAR and a few others. He's actually on the City of Spokane Human Rights Council Commission. So he's actually an appointed person on a governmental board, which would mean he is held to ethical standards. And let's see what Mr. Peace had to say during that article. And let's take a look at some of the stuff that he's made claims over the last year. And I'll let you decide if he's living up to the ethical standards of being on a City of Spokane citizen board, a human rights commission. Because last I checked, human rights means we protect the rights of all humans and not disparage any human. Last I checked. So these are some quotes that came out of that interview. It says that I constantly maintained the sheriff's office doesn't have any racist cops in its force. Folks, I'm sorry, but that is correct. And the one issue that we had pertaining that was dealt with. And it really kind of deflates Mr. Peace's comment when he has to admit that, the one that we had a slight issue with here, or I won't say slight, it was an issue, got turned in by his fellow deputies. And then Mr. Peace has to kind of deflate his whole argument further. Again, deputies turning other deputies in, that's the key. Well, here's a shock and awe for you, Anwar. Over the 15 years that I've had disciplinary issues that I've dealt with, the vast majority of those disciplinary issues were brought forward from line staff up. because good police officers don't want to work with bad police officers. They don't. They don't. And they do bring these issues forward, and we deal with them. We don't hide them. We don't push them off. We deal with them. You've watched me deal with them for 15 years. And sometimes it becomes very highly publicized. One clarification here. It was not the individual who was the complainant in that particular case that brought that forward. It was a peer that he told the information to that went, I'm sorry, because that individual didn't want it to go anywhere. He just wanted to talk about it. And his peer went, I'm sorry, man. I can't do that. This is really bad. So that peer went to his supervisor, and the supervisor went down the hall to the sheriff now. And that's how we found out about it. The thin blue line that people like to talk about, they went, no, this is not kosher, this is bad. They brought it forward. So when Mr. Peace wants to, one, take a jab, and then he has to point out that, well, okay, yeah, they did exactly what we expect them to do. And I have worked in four law enforcement agencies. 31 years. I've run into one person that I consider a deep, dark racist. I mean, his soul is just, was just bad. I mean, they, you know, these people tend not to survive. And it wasn't in the sheriff's office. This individual wasn't in the sheriff's office. 31 years, four agencies, one. And again, they don't last long. Why? Because that's not who we are. And folks, you forget that we are you. You do. You forget we are you. We're your neighbors. We're members of clubs with you. We're members of sports leagues with you. We're members of church groups with you. We are you. And we're not racist. You know, just had a conversation about the All Cops Are Bastards movement. There's your problem. The minute you use the word all, you turn the rest of the nation off. Because the nation, like I said, knows their law enforcement because they live with them, they go to church with them, they know them. That's why the defund movement didn't go any farther, except in the media's mind. And the media wants to keep that churning. We'll cover that in either this section or another section. So let's go to the next slide. So Anwar makes further comments, and he says that he doesn't think there can be any kind of community healing that takes place until police departments admit that they have a problem inside their departments. He added, it's been really difficult trying to affect change when there are specific leadership here that has a history of being confrontational towards community change efforts. Well, I'm assuming that was directed at law enforcement leadership. But I have a question for Mr. Peace on this one. In 2013, all 39 sheriffs of the state of Washington, I and 38 of my peers, went to the state legislature and said, look, we need the ability to hold rogue police officers accountable. Because every time we terminate one of them, a arbitrator gives their jobs back to them. So we said, what we need from you, state legislature, is we need a bill that says if a sheriff in chief has done everything correctly, followed labor law, proved the case, met all the requirements, and we terminate somebody for committing crimes on duty or lying, you need to make sure the arbitrator cannot give that person jobs back. And that was the essence of the bill. Now, every time I've talked about that, citizens groups and everything else, everybody's going, okay, that's the way it should be. Well, we couldn't even get that bill out of committee. And there were people that I talked to in our own community here going, where's the ACLU on this? Where's this group? Matter of fact, Einar, where were you? You say you've been involved in this for 21 years. Where were you when the leadership of law enforcement, the elected leadership of law enforcement of the state of Washington, was fighting for reform and change? Where were you? I didn't see you there. Didn't see any of them there. Out of the 15 representatives and senators that represent Spokane County, that have some connection with Spokane County, only 5 supported that bill. 5. And again, we couldn't get that bill out of committee. I don't remember seeing you there, Anwar. And I don't remember you being in any discussion where we have actually worked to effect change. Now, you'll stand on the sideline and you'll throw rocks, but I've never seen you actually there. Let's go back to that slide. So, again, where's our history, Anwar, of being confrontational towards community change efforts when we've actually led those community change efforts? Krim, you've been around long enough. You know the history. How'd you let him get away with this? No challenge whatsoever to these words. Next slide. Oh, by the way, Anwar, the sheriff's office, made a commitment to the NAACP to address disproportionality. We did that. I don't see any hostility there. Matter of fact, there are members there that, what Anwar doesn't understand, that change and building change and building trust involves relationships and partnerships. You never develop a relationship or a partnership by standing out and throwing rocks. It doesn't happen. You do it by getting to know each other and moving things forward. Something Anwar apparently doesn't understand. So, again, where's the resistance to change, Anwar? Please. I'm waiting. Next slide. Oh, by the way, this is part of that study that we're involved in. I did this a little bit differently than any other group we've worked with. They said, we want your data. I said, fine, but I'm not going to send you my data. Instead, you are going to come to the sheriff's office. You're going to sit side by side with my statistician. You are going to delineate in full detail the data you want. And we are going to try to construct the data you want, pull it out in the form that you want it, in the way that you want it, So there's no misunderstanding here. I don't want any misunderstandings. You come in, you will sit down with us, you will put the rails up as far as here's the sideboards, here's what we want, here's the expectations, and that's what we did. This wasn't a normal, okay, we'll just send you some data. No, you come and tell us exactly what is it you want, because I don't want any misunderstandings here. Now, folks, I want you to take a close look at that graphic, because it speaks to disproportionality, what we've been talking about in the last segment, how if there's any number above the demographic proportional aspect of a particular race, creed, color in our community, it's automatically biased, it's automatically racist, it's automatic white supremacist. And I'm using those words because I'm tired of them not being used when that is exactly the words that we are hearing behind closed door meetings with these people that want to say they represent you. So according to the demographic that the person from Eastern University created or used, roughly 1.4% of the populace that the law enforcement for Spokane County, our jurisdiction, contains 1.4% African Americans, and they have a arrest rate of 6.6%. So there you go, there's your disproportionality. It's got to be racist, got to be biased, got to be white supremacist. Now, the Native American has a population of about 1.4 and has an arrest rate of about 2.9. So I guess we have the same issue there. But other demographics of color are below the proportionality line, below. So I guess there's a disproportionality on the other side. And my question back to the NAACP and the professor who did this was, are you telling me we only have a bias against two demographics in Spokane County? Is that what you're telling me? Because if we were really biased, racist, white supremacist, you would see that in every category. Why is it only two? Well, therein lies the true question of this discussion that we should be having is why? What's the why behind that? You've heard me talk about this ad nauseum over the years. If you've been listening to this program, you've heard me say this time and time again. Why? Next slide. Now, this isn't the first time that Anwar hasn't exactly been honest. This is a screenshot of a Facebook post that got forwarded to me. I assure you I'm not following Mr. Peace on Facebook. I don't even hardly go on Facebook. It's probably the most dangerous tool there is in America or in the world. It is that destructive. So I'm not sure if you can read it, so we'll go to the next slide. And we'll just take snippets of it. These are his quotes in that post, and it says, I'm quite disappointed and dismayed in the sheriff's recent efforts in dealing with the community between the stalled out process for the NAACP cultural audit or the sheriff's office, which the sheriff signed an agreement to do. And Mr. Peace, can you please tell me when this was stalled out? Can you? Because it never was. We've worked very diligently. We had one hiccup when the people doing the study asked for data, and I warned them up front, we don't have HR in the sheriff's office. It's called civil service. So when you send asking for HR data, we don't have that, and that was one of the hurdles we had to overcome. That was it. But please show me this stalled out process. More importantly, please show me where the NAACP held Mr. Peace accountable for that statement. Please show me where anybody involved in this process, Curtis Robinson, held Mr. Peace accountable for that statement. Because it is a false statement. And remind you, Mr. Peace sits on the City of Spokane Human Rights Commission, and they have ethics that they're supposed to represent. So, Mr. Peace, can you show us how this was stalled out? I can tell you we have bent over backwards trying to make this happen, and we continue to do so. One of the things that's interesting is that in October 2019, the NAACP and the professor from Eastern came and got the data I described earlier, and they were supposed to come back in October of 20 and request more data, and we're still waiting. We're still waiting so we can do another comparison. Well, I kind of got tired of waiting, and we hired a company that did a study for SPD so we could kind of get a regional flavor of what's going on here. We have a draft of that. We're reviewing that. We'll be releasing it to you, the citizens, here shortly, so you can see from non-biased eyes what it looks like for Spokane County and the Spokane region, because we have SPD and the Sheriff's Office, the two largest agencies, took it upon ourselves to do this. Because, folks, if there's a problem, we want to know. We want to fix it. That's what we do. Go back to the slide. Next slide. And then he goes on to state that, you know, the same time I signed the cultural audit, I decided to bring the TV show Cops into this town. Anwar, I'm not sure you pay attention very well to the actual facts, because the agreement with the NAACP was signed in August of 2019, I believe it was. Maybe off a month, but it was 2019. And the TV show Cops has been filming in Spokane County for the last like 25 years. And the particular episode you're talking about, it was in 2020, a year after signing this agreement. And it was nothing more than renewing the same thing we did the year before with Cops. So what's your point? What's your point? Other than you somehow believe that the show Cops is racist. And that's why. Folks, I'm not holding anything back on this. This is just the way it is. And this is another false claim by a City of Spokane representative, Mr. Anwar Peace. Next slide. And then he talks about training a town hall. Well, Anwar never promised a town hall. I said that we canceled the training. The training was canceled. It was canceled because of our desire to bring members of our community in, especially my citizen advisory board, to listen to the trainer that was going to come in and provide this class, and a few other people from the community. And being that COVID was last year, we could only do like 50% capacity, which narrowed that down to 25 people. By the time we got ready to do this, we had maybe 10 people even wanting to come and listen to the instructor, and we were going to film it. So we canceled the class and everything, and the instructor said, since there's only 10 people, let's try to do this after COVID so we can get a bigger group. That's the fact. Those are the true facts. So, Mr. Peace, again, that's a false claim. So when are you going to stop throwing rocks? Because remember what I said about fixing things in our community, fixing things in our society? It doesn't happen unless you have partnerships and relationships and trust. And I can tell you, Mr. Peace, there's none of that with you. Next slide. So, how many times does the city of Spokane government and his peers, my peers, have to rebuff me on my backwards thinking and on police reform? Well, what do you mean backwards thinking? All 39 sheriffs led by me, we try to change the way we held people accountable. Would you like to address this again? And how would you address the fact that we are nationally recognized for our training and our reform efforts? Where's the rebuke? Oh, by the way, the city of Spokane representatives, they usually come to me and ask me to help them out with issues. As a matter of fact, some of them actually asked me to endorse them for offices. So let's see where you get your rebuff. Next slide. And now we know his motivation. It's political. Well, Mr. Peace, again, ethics, City of Spokane, Human Rights Commission, ethics, truth. You have a responsibility to be ethical if you're going to represent the people. Next slide. So, here's going into the next section, folks. This is what we will talk about in the next program. We'll talk about OISs involving African Americans as far as the Spokane County Sheriff's Office. And I'll show you where those numbers come from. And again, Mr. Peace, where? Folks, we as a nation have to find a way to get beyond throwing rocks at each other if we really want to have a change, if we really want to have the great society that we all potentially have here. What I am seeing is, and what I am most concerned about is, this type of action, as we saw in this story, does nothing to further that. It only divides us. And folks, most activists can't afford to have their special projects, their causes fixed. Because the day that their cause gets fixed, they lose their ability to earn money, raise money. And therein lies the problem. This is Sheriff Ozzy Knezowicz with the Sheriff's Report. Have a great day.
Here at River Ridge Hardware Garden Center, where we have all the plants and flowers that will spruce up your yard, from the lilacs for Spokane's Lilac City to awesome hanging baskets and pots that you can actually put the hanging baskets in. Here at River Ridge Hardware, we want to help you set up your landscape needs. Neighbors helping neighbors at River Ridge Hardware.
Thanks for watching. Ask the host a question, recommend a guest, or check out any of our other programs on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or SpokaneTalksMedia.com. Sponsored by River Ridge Hardware.